Hello, everybody. How are you? It is top of the hour, and we are on week 7, excuse me, of the Amazing Career Project. And it is all about embracing expansion today. Love this topic. Love it, love it. I watch the videos, even though I've given this course a lot of times now, I watch it right before we meet. And it's always interesting to me how every time I watch it, of course, I'm in a different state, a different time in my life, different things are happening, and, you know, it hits me differently, which I'm sure will happen to you if you go back and watch these all at a different time. But what hit me today as I was watching it is this. And I think probably when I recorded this several years ago, I hadn't worked with as many people. I mean, back then it was 10,000. Now it's probably even 15,000, you know, in terms of workshop folks and, you know, keynote talks and all. And what I really see here is, in general, it is not the outer tactics that get in the way of people's success and happiness and reward and having the life they want. It isn't outer stuff. It's all of the internal work. And this one, embracing expansion, I think is really important. Well, they're all very important, but what I see in so many people who reach out to me, men and women, is that they think they want more success. That's what they cognitively believe, but they don't act in ways that allow themselves to expand. And that's because of fear and everything we're going to talk about this week. So when we're longing for, you know, I want to be on television, or I want to make $1 million, or I want to launch this nonprofit that changes the world, they think a thought like that. But in reality, there are deep set fears, worries, anxieties, and blocks that keep people from acting in ways that will embrace more. So if this resonates with you, I hope you'll listen up, watch the video, do the exercises, but let's go. Is there anybody on the call who wants to share anything before we get going on the slides? Anything you want to share? Again, you know, you hit star 2, or I will check the online Q&A and see if you have any questions. How is it going? Feel free to use these calls, of course, for anything you need help on. All right, nobody's raising their hand, so I'm going to the slides. All right, so this week we're talking about embracing expansion. Are you truly ready for more? So here's the takeaway. You absolutely deserve more of what you want. Without question, everyone does. It's an inalienable right. The question is, do you believe you deserve it? And, you know, it's wild, and I see this kind of serendipity constantly. Just as I'm about to teach something, somebody posts something elsewhere that's about this exact same point. But on the Kathy and Mo Facebook page, which I'd love you to join, you know, we post all of our Best Work, Best Life podcasts, shows and episodes, and I hope you're checking those out because it's free content that dovetails so nicely on this program. So just go to kathyandmo.com and subscribe there, and you'll get an email from us every week because we're just cranking these out, and it's so fun to do. And we're talking to, you know, some of the people who are true movers and shakers in our country and in our world about important things like success and happiness and personal branding, etc. But in that page, you can see it right away. A woman named Terry mentions, it's because I posted something on Forbes, the happiness and most successful professionals, 8 ways they think differently. And I posted in our group too. And she wrote something about, you know, she's been resistant to believing in or embracing that she needs to give herself some time or some tender loving care or, you know, take a break or go get a massage or do something for herself. it's clear she resists that. I think she feels selfish. But yet when she does that, it changes everything. And, you know, it's these little things like giving to yourself and not feeling horrible and selfish and guilty. You know, I wrote in that Facebook group, I now get a massage once a month. And I used to get one every 6 months, or when somebody gave me a gift, I go every month, and I tell you, it's changed things for me. I view them, I choose the people I go to, and they're healers. And it's like an energy healing session. And I treat it that way. I go in with an intention. What do I need to heal? What do I need to release? What do I need to feel more of? And, you know, I kind of, as I'm being worked on, it's truly an energy healing. Do I feel guilty about that? Not in the least, because it helps me be of service. It helps me do what I want to do. But if we can't even get over the stumbling block of do I deserve a massage, we're not going to get to that place where we're helped and healed, right? But let's talk about this a little more. The video talks about having you ask yourself, what do I want more of? What kind of more? What expansion do I want? And not everybody wants every type of expansion. For instance, some people want to downsize. They don't want a bigger house or more money or more responsibility or more things, you know. They want more time in the mountains, you know. So the key is for you to look at what more is ideal for you. And why is it important? Because you're on this course because you want to shift to something you believe is amazing. And again, this is another way of dimensionalizing and identifying and defining what is that for you, rather than just letting life happen to us. And, you know, I see it, you know, every morning that I can remember, I have to be honest, some mornings I don't do this, but when I wake up in the morning, when I commit to doing this, I think of what I want this day to bring me. Sometimes I need more ease. Sometimes I need more time off. Sometimes I need more patience. Sometimes I need more love and compassion because I'm annoyed with something. Sometimes I need more strength and more courage and more confidence. I think about in the morning as I'm in bed, what would I like this day to bring me? And I want to tell you, when I articulate it to the universe, that's what I get. So even if it's in my head, which it isn't, you know, I really believe we energetically attract things. Whatever is going on there, wouldn't it be wonderful to every morning have what you want? So, but first you have to identify what you want. So I talk about what is being in the flow of life, which is, I feel, an ideal state. And, you know, the metaphor is the river that's flowing. It just naturally flows, and sometimes it's fuller, sometimes it's you know, less water, but it's tripping over rocks in a beautiful way, right? It's not feeling guilty at how it's flowing. It's simply flowing, right? And how do you know you're in the flow? You're of use. It's easy. Yes, things happen in life. You know, it's not all a bowl of candy. But when things knock you down, you're resilient. You pop back up. You're joyful in the learning of it. You know, the things that used to knock you down for weeks knock you down for a second, and then in fact, they don't even knock you down. You're learning, you're growing, you're joyful. The opposite is restriction, constriction, struggling, resisting, feeling small, feeling guilty, feeling selfish if you focus on yourself, feeling afraid to shine. So we're going for the first scenario where you're flowing easily and more of what you want comes to you. So one critical thing that's in the way is what we call driven behavior. And I mentioned, you know, one of my favorite authors in the world, Maria Nemeth, in The Energy of Money, says this: your experience of an abundant life is the sum of your authentic choices minus the sum of your driven behavior. I'm just going to do one thing here and make sure that everybody's on the call. There we go. Perfect. Back to the slides. Thank you. So driven behavior. What is it? So the way I define it is, you know, we operate so consistently out of fear, and we're not even aware of it. But driven behavior is when it's subconscious and you are driven to do something that maybe you don't even want to do, that you're exhausted to do, but you feel you have to, or something bad will happen. And I think I gave an example in an earlier video of this. I was in a workshop at IBM, actually, and a woman said, I'm so exhausted, and there's so much to balance my little kids, and I have to drop them off at school, and I have to pick them up at school, and it's just impossible. I said, oh, so there's no bus? And she said, no, there's a bus, but I feel like maybe something bad's going to happen. I'm worried, so I need to drive him. And I see this around me everywhere. I see it in family members. I see it in friends and colleagues. Driven to do something because you're afraid that if you don't. But, you know, what I want to share with you is when we're driven in this way, it almost never works out. Now, if you're discerning and conscious and aware of your behavior, and let me give you a prime example for me, and I've talked about this before. You know, I've been doing this work 10 years, and I've taken a lot of twists and turns. I've done a million different things. I've done a lot of online marketing. I've done executive coaching. I've done leadership training. I go in and give workshops. And there are some things that I like and some things I don't like. And I mentioned to you, you know, executive coaching, where the company pays, has often been a conflict for me, because what they want me to, quote-unquote, fix in their employee is actually not something that needs to be fixed. It's something that reflects a broken system, and they need to fix it, leadership, but they don't want that. That's a conflict for me. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy that work. I don't enjoy taking their money, and actually I don't enjoy when they don't listen about what's wrong with the culture and why this person actually is quite reasonable in her assessment of what's wrong. But I had driven behavior around it. I got to take this work because it pays well. Well, if you continually take work that you don't like to make money, you're telling the universe, give me more of this. You know, you won't break out of the cycle. And it's the same with many of you who are in jobs that are afraid to leave. The answer to that is start interviewing. Start interviewing. You can't possibly know what's out there for you if you don't leave your cubicle or your office. There could be something much better, blowing your mind at how much better it is. But your driven behavior says, no, I can't give this up. I can't leave this. I mean, I just see it over and over and over. So you want to be aware of what's driving you. What are my deepest fears? You know, what is it that I think is going to go wrong if I embrace more of what I want? And then take those driven fears on. Look at them. Where did they come from? I feel the best way is to look at where they came from. And usually it's something in your past, something in your childhood, or it's a lack of worthiness or lack of self-esteem. You know, I felt I had to take those executive coaching gigs because that's all that was coming to me. Well, that's all that was coming to me because I wasn't outwardly communicating to everyone I know, and even in my own post, my own Forbes post, what I really wanted. And, you know, it's funny. One of my posts went very viral, as you know, on LinkedIn. 6 toxic behaviors that push people away. It's got 3 million views now. And I got several executive coaching gigs from that, which is such a surprise. Who would have thought? But I really should have said thank you so much, but, you know, I'll be happy to work with those people individually, but not through your corporation. So I should have just been honest, but I wasn't, and I've learned. So what do you want more of? I found that there is a number of buckets or categories of what people want more of that I hear over and over and over again. And here they are. Control over your time and flexibility, right? You want to be more in charge. You want to be the one saying what you're involved in and what you're not. You don't want people to just book your time, or you don't want to feel like, oh, there's so many things on my plate that I actually, half of which I don't want. That's what you have to change. Now, like in my situation, I have so much on my plate that I invited and I love, but so balancing for me is hard. That's the last category we're going to talk to. But I believe that quality of life involves having control, your own control over your time. So we're going to give you some quick tips about how to overcome these in a minute. Responsibility. A lot of people say, I want a bigger job. I want more responsibility. I want more impact. Well, we're going to talk about that. Respect. In fact, why don't I just go to the chart that talks about that for a minute? Let's go. So control over time. I feel like, and I'm going to give you one critical solution, and I have seen that when you can enforce this one solution or bring it forward, engage in this one strategy, things shift. So when you don't have enough control over your time, or when you do not have enough flexibility, I feel like the one thing that has to happen is a fiercer prioritization. You have to get incredibly clear what matters to you and what goals and initiatives that you need to focus on now that are going to get you to your goals. Not everything you're engaged in is equally impactful in your life. There are some things that you feel you should do, but you really don't want to do. And again, the should, that's driven behavior. I should, something came to mind, you know, I should make those ornaments to give away, blah, blah, blah. Should you? Why? I mean, maybe because for a non-profit or a charitable cause, really? So if that takes 30 hours in your holiday season, think about it. Is that what you want to do with your time? Maybe there's another way you can have even deeper impact in that charitable endeavor. Rethink what you're doing. Don't just assume, you know, I've got to take these executive coaching things because that's what's coming. Well, that's what's always going to come if you don't say no. All right, control. So the second thing is responsibility, as I was saying. So a lot of people say, gosh, I want more. I want my boss to give me more. And it sometimes sounds like whining. Why? Because you have to go out and claim that. Determine clearly where you want to contribute more and do it and apply yourself, right? If it's something at work and you want to be on that project, go and ask to be on the project, right? Or you want to do some more social causes at work. So go to HR and say, I want to spearhead this contribution, you know, towards this social cause under our corporation. Claim it. Go out and get it. It just will not fall in your lap, right? Respect and recognition is the third bucket I hear. I want more of this. So I've seen this over and over. Life is a mirror. If you are not getting, and this involves kindness and care as well, which is the next category, use it as a mirror. So what I mean by that is if you are not getting enough respect and recognition, often it means you have to increase your own self-respect and your respect of others. And when you do that, it will come. It's not going to come if you are, you know, faking it. None of these things are going to come if you're faking it. You have to actually do the work to understand, where is there a gap in my life around respect? Is it self-respect? Do I not respect myself? And I'm looking for external validation. You've got to look at, what is your life showing you? If it's a mirror, what is it telling you you have to do? Kindness and care. A lot of people say, oh, I'm surrounded by toxicity. I want more care, compassion, love, gentleness, right? Well, I hear you. And, you know, I was talking to my husband about, you know, what we read every day. and how that can, even the headlines every day. And I'm not saying you have to be a hermit and hide in a cave, but I am saying if you read the news for 10 hours a day and you're not careful what you're ingesting, it's going to make you feel very depleted. There's no question. But about kindness and care, you may be attracting negative and seeing only negative around you. And again, this can be kind of your mindset, how you were raised, but you need to be vigilant about who you let into your life and your own focus on kindness. You need to look at it. It exists, you know. Again, if we're only reading the headlines of murder and torture and terrorism, we get the feeling there's no kindness and compassion and care in the world. But it's just not true. It's not an accurate reflection. So you need to adjust, right? We need to adjust and be very careful and vigilant about the lens we're using to look at the world. There's amazing kindness and care and compassion all around us, but we have to focus on it, right? Another bucket of what people want more of, authority and leadership. So why do you want more of that? A lot of people say, you know, I want to be the expert. But when you ask them why, you know, the reasons are very egocentric, ego-based. And that's not going to help you be the leader you want to be. If it's all about, well, I finally want to get the recognition or the authority I deserve, that isn't going to help you. It's very ego-based. You've got to look at what impact can I make as a leader? What changes do I want to impact and influence? What good do I want to do? How do I want to be a service? And then how do I be a leader in that direction? Right? Another key bucket, God, Lord, I'm so bored with my work. I just want more exciting work. Well, part of this program is helping you do what has to be done, which is identify exactly what would excite you. And then we have to tease it apart. Is that a hobby? Is that a passion? Is that something you want to make money on? Is it a business you want to form? Is it work that you want to do on the side and make some money, but it isn't the full living that you want to make? It's time to start figuring that out rather than just thinking, good Lord, I'm so bored. And, you know, so many people I work with, they come to me and they're high level. In fact, I have a new client who's doing amazing things, and she kind of can't stand her job. Not kind of, she can't. So we're teasing it apart. Okay, what parts do you like? And what parts do you never want to do again? And she said, wow, I've never really thought of that question. And then when we pulled it out and teased it out, it's pretty clear she could be a consultant and make a ton of money doing just the part that she likes. That's what we have to do. Exactly what is exciting? Exactly what do you want to let go of? How do you want to do it? Right? And what outcomes do you want to serve? And what's the best format for that for you? All right, money and financial reward. You know, who doesn't, it seems, want more money? But when we're struggling, and I know because I have been struggling in some capacity or another around money until about 2 years ago when things started to shift. And I used to ask myself, how am I blocked? I don't get it. I know that it's something that I'm blocked about. I am blocked. But how? And I have to say, tapping into wealth, that book and those videos helped me. Some energy work helped me. And one thing, for instance, let me share this very candidly. I have a overly positive, optimistic kind of nature. And I say overly, and I'll tell you why. I really believe things do work out. I feel that they do. That's how I look at life. Even when we have a terrible setback, I feel that this is here for a reason and I'm going to learn from it and it's going to work out. The corollary to that that's dangerous is being in denial. And we've talked about that. So I have been in denial about my money. It's going to work out. I have this huge bill, tax bill. It'll work out somehow. It won't work out if you just stuff it under a shelf somewhere, under a stack of books. That's denial. The way it works out is jumping in and addressing it. Okay, what do I owe and what's my plan? But pushing it away because you don't want to look at it, that's denial. And I see so many women around their finances doing things that sabotage their success. So I want to talk to you about the upper limit problem. I'm going to go back in a minute. I see so many women have this, so many people. Support and connection. Oh, I want more support. Identify one person you want a deeper connection with and go make it happen. And, you know, I really see this all around me. You know, join a group. I'm in a singing group. And so many people who come together for a light cause are wanting connection, wanting a deeper connection, deeper relationship with people who are like-minded. It's not hard, right? You just have to commit. Joy. I have found that people just say, oh, I just want to be more joyful. I want to have more, you know, fun and happiness and joy. Well, often when we just can't seem to make that work, we are connected to struggle. And the video talks about an example of that. You have to make joy and your specific kind of joy a priority. And balance. We have talked about this, but I can't share it enough. It's within your grasp. It's within your reach to have more work-life balance. How do I know this? Because I've worked with thousands of women who've changed how they live their life and gotten more balance. You just have to prioritize and then live with that. Live with the repercussions of prioritizing. I just read, and I shared it, I think on Facebook, about Drew Barrymore. She's featured in Forbes, and the headline is Why Drew Barrymore Thinks Women Can't Have It All. And while I typically hate that question, I love what she has to say. She's so wise. She's so together. And she said, you know, get used to feeling like none of it is perfect. Well, that's a happy thing to get used to. We don't need perfection in life. We need good enough. You know, good enough. I feel good enough. I'm going to bed, and I truly feel today was a good day. Not a perfect day, but it was a good day. So read Drew Barrymore. She's so cool. All right, I want to go back to the upper limit problem here. Awesome book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. If you feel that you sabotage your success, and boy, did this resonate with me, read the book. It's very small, great read. And he talks about, again, we have a set point of where we're comfortable. It, around money, health, love, all of it, wellness. And when we go over the set point, we often get very nervous and do something to sabotage. I mean, haven't you ever noticed you might be in the throes of a kind of a romantic or a happy feeling with your spouse or your partner, and all of a sudden you'll pick a fight because it's so unfamiliar feeling this good. Having this much success or this much love or this much, I mean, how many people, and I see this in myself, you know, in terms of weight, I'll get down to my lowest amount and that day I'll binge. Not binge really, but overdo it. We sabotage. So he talks about, Gay, four hidden barriers. Why we do this. One of them is that we feel fundamentally flawed. We don't really feel like we deserve heaven. You know, on earth, we feel we don't deserve it, so we don't let ourselves have it. The second issue is disloyalty and abandonment. A lot of people feel like if they're going for their dream, in some ways their values or what they care about are showing disloyalty to their tribe, to their family. You know, I remember one thing comes to mind. I used to live for my vacations, and we'd take some pretty amazing ones, you know, before kids and even with kids. But I've been to the Caribbean many times. We went to Hawaii. And I remember my mother said, you know, you can't live for your vacation. And that felt like a little bit of a hurtful comment. I think what she really meant was, you know, I had so much fun not working. This was during my corporate life, that, you know, you can't, you know, she's right. It's not a healthy thing to live only for your vacations. But what I think she also meant was, I don't think her values are in alignment with what I was doing, taking very big trips and you know, going to exotic places. So just subconsciously, we are going for things that are often going to be a clash with the people we were raised around. So you have to think about, do I want to live my own life? And are these my authentic values, or are these someone else's values, right? The third barrier to, you know, exponentially more success and happiness and joy and health and money is believing that more success brings more burden. And I believe Gay was writing, the author was writing, that sometimes people think when they are successful, they will be more of a burden. But the way I read it and the way I feel, you know, personally is, the more success I have, the more burden, the harder the work is going to be. And this has been written about a lot. Entrepreneurial women do not expand and grow at nearly the rate entrepreneurial males do. Men, pretty much often out of the gate, are thinking about how they can scale. You know, they don't want it to be a one-person or a three-person thing. They want to make millions of dollars, and they want to scale it. Women are slow to that thinking. And I do believe that it's because they think, you know, I've worked with people right even this week on this issue. If I build my business, which is now three people, to what it really needs to be for me to get out of the work I don't like and make the money I need, it's going to have to be, you know, eight people, and do I really want that? I'm scared. That's going to be more burden. But if you do it right, it's not more burden. It's expanding the focus on what you want. And fourth, the fourth hidden barrier is the crime of outshining. And I have lived this, and so many of my clients have. When you become the person you want to be, you invariably are going to outshine a friend, a family member, or someone you love, a spouse. Do you know that I went and gave a talk to state legislators, female state legislators, and four of them, it was a keynote on how to move forward your agenda, and four of them later came up and said, when I won the election, that was the end of my marriage. And one husband said, I was okay with you running, I'm not okay with you winning. Wow. I could do a whole hour on that. Now, I don't think that's a matter of outshining necessarily. It's a matter of that woman becoming more powerful, becoming a public figure, and that changed the power dynamic and the hierarchy in the relationship. But I do think outshining is hard for us, and for, I think it's a gender issue as well. I think sometimes when we marry or we partner, we have a certain kind of compact, agreement, commitment, and then when we change that and we start to shine in a very, very, very big way in the world, that changes the agreement. And some partners can't stand it, can't take it. And I've seen it even among siblings. You know, someone might have a depressed brother who's never really gotten out of the gate and, you know, thrived, and here is a person shining and is famous or making a lot of money, and it's hard for them. So if any of this resonates, read Gay Hendricks' book, The Big Leap. I found it tremendously helpful. So I want you to think about what makes you fearful about having more. Okay? What are your concerns and your doubts about what would happen if I had more control, I had more responsibility, I had more respect, I had more kindness, I had more exciting work, I made a lot more money, I had more joy, I had more balance. What would happen if? What are you afraid of? All right. So think about the one top area you want to expand in your life. Please think about it and write it down and share it in the Facebook group. Of all of these areas, and if I haven't hit the area that you want, write it down, add it. What do you want more of, and in what area? And what three concrete strategies or actions can you take this week, this month, that are going to help you experience expansion? And what will be different when you have it? I mean, this is a therapeutic technique that I love. When people say, I just want more joy, you know, we were trained to ask a few key questions. Okay, number one, how are you going to know you have more joy? What does that look like, right? I need you to dimensionalize that so that you can say to yourself, wow, I said that this is what joy is, and now look, I have it, right? So how are you going to know you have more, right? And what will be different? And you really need to do that so that you don't let yourself just be vaguely whining, you know, oh, I want more money, I just want more money. What will be different when you have it? How will you know? And what are you going to do about it? All right. Expansion, let's talk about it. Who's got a question? Oh, I'd love to take your questions on this. Tell me what you want more of, and let's help you get it. Of all these things, I know there's got to be something in here. What do you want more of in your life? It could be love. It could be sex. It could be romance. It could be excitement. It could be travel. It could be love from your children. What do you want more of? I want to see those hands go up. Let me go to the Q&A and see if anybody's sent in anything. No. All right, quiet group. I have a half hour, 25 minutes. Who wants some help? Tell me. Tell me what feels constricted right now. Tell me what you learned in watching this video that you never knew. Tell me what you realized about a driven fear that you have. If I make more money, this. If I have more, if I lose the weight that I've been trying to lose, I'm going to get a sexual advances I'm afraid of. Anything, anything, anything. Let me help you. I'm going to the Q&A. Come on, folks. There we go. Awesome. Hello, Renton, Washington. Who's this?
This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks so much for raising your hand.
Well, you're welcome, Kathy. I don't want to hog your sessions because I've called in before. So,
no problem. Thank you for being sensitive about that, but I'm loving that you raised your hand because no one else did, so here we go.
It's hard for me to know how many are on the call. So,
yes. You don't have to worry. You can always jump in, and if I feel like we've spent a lot of time and I need to talk to someone else, I'll handle that. Okay.
Thank you. Kathy, my three top wants that I want more of in life are joy. And when I say what does this look like, what does more joy look like, it always has to do with time, more time with family, more time for my health, more time for nature. And, you know, I guess, and then the other two that I chose were more interesting work and something that fulfills my intellectual need for problem solving. And then my third one was balance. And that could also be kind of a time control issue.
Yeah.
But here's the peculiar thing is my work day isn't all that long, Kathy. It's just more I'm just so mentally exhausted and sick of it that it feels like it is. And I feel that even if I embrace something with interesting work and joy, it'll slide right back down into something tedious, boring, with a lot of struggles if I'm making money. So it's just a big circle.
God.
I don't quite know where to focus on now.
So let's tease this apart because it's interesting. How would I say this? When you talk about joy, you're talking about, you said, I'm equating that with more time.
Well, that's what comes up when I write things down. What does more joy look like? More time with my family and friends, more time for health, more time for nature.
But there's something there we've got to tease out. So
let
me ask some questions, could I?
Sure.
Why? Tell me why, and it's funny, in therapy we're taught, you know, don't ask the why question. It puts someone on a defensive, but I don't mean to get you defensive. I really mean why. Why in your mind do you go to the place that if I change jobs or work, it's still going to be tedious and exhausting? Where did that come from?
When I've gone through your career assessment, which I haven't sent in to you yet, I've really never liked any job I've had. What I've liked, Kathy, is the paycheck. I liked having my own money. I felt independent. I felt free. And I liked taking my paycheck home. And I've been willing to do, shoveling chicken manure. I've been willing to work in cafeterias. I've had three jobs at a time. I worked my way through school. I have a very intellectual job now, but I've done a lot of work for pay. It allowed me to pay my bills. It allowed me to become independent and, you know, ultimately get the education I wanted. So it was always a means to an end.
Do you feel you know what work you would like to do?
I have, the short answer is no. I've attempted through the years, the past 4 years or so, many things, everything from informatics, which I've pushed aside. It gets me right back into an environment that I don't want. I've tried acting classes. I've tried voiceover. I've done medical writing. I've pursued many things that are a little more, in my opinion, much more creative than what I've been doing. And I've enjoyed each and every one of those. I've just never been able to make the leap into integrating it into something meaningful. So I do have an appointment with Lynn on Monday, which I think will be helpful. But I don't know, Kathy, and I'm
and
far too old to be thinking.
Now, Lisa?
I'm 52.
Mm-hmm. So is it true? I want to spend a few more minutes with you, if I could. So you said you've dabbled in all these things and made money and enjoyed it, but then you said, I've never liked any job I've ever had.
Oh, those weren't jobs. Those were just things on the side that I pursued concurrent with my job.
Let me throw out some things I want to ask you to think about. When we have a pattern like this, I have never liked any job that I've had, there's something deeper going on. Because the law of averages would even say that 1 out of 10 would be good. Something's habitually being co-created here.
Yeah.
What is the struggle? Tell me what childhood was like about working. Did your family struggle around work? Was there not enough money?
No. Our dad died very young. He died suddenly very young. I was the oldest of four. No, our mom didn't work for quite a few years. She went to work kind of later in life for something to do. So there wasn't so much a struggle with money, and I've actually always been very good with it. My struggle is more around I kind of like to work alone, and taking on working with others, I always take on a lot of burdens. You know, I kind of babysit everyone and make sure that the work's done right. I make sure, I really resent it. But that's a lot of what.
Are you an introvert?
I am. Yes. I don't act like one though.
Yeah.
But I am.
Everybody I've ever met. Well, that's a sweeping generalization. There are people in my life, friends, relatives, who no matter what job they have, they're pretty miserable. I even know a teacher who's an amazing teacher, a music teacher, and she counts the number of concerts until she can retire.
Yeah.
And without exception, every one of these people has an energy issue and is an introvert. And I don't think they've put it together. Like one of my extended family members, he's good at his job, but no matter what, and he works in management consulting, no matter what job he gets, he cannot wait for the job to be over and to retire. I feel that that's an energy issue.
Okay.
And all of these people are introverts, and I'm wondering this. Is it possible that it is not the work that you don't like? It is everything around it.
Yes.
Like for me, I am not an introvert. However, I want to tell you this. One thing that killed me was a commute where I'd have to get up at 6:30 in the morning and I got home at 7. Mm-hmm. My body can't do it. And I would be exhausted and then I wouldn't be able to really be present for my kids and I got sick. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I am so much happier sleeping till 9 or 8:30 like I do now. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing my jammies sometimes. Now, part of me is an introvert and needs that restoration through quiet, but the other part of me is an extreme extrovert. So is it possible that it's all the stuff around the work that you do that means you don't like the job?
You know, I think it that is absolutely one element that's a predominant element. The work also is getting boring to me too. It's more analytical, and I just feel like maybe I'm burned out on the analytical component at this point in my life. I want to try something a little more creative, perhaps. But so I think it's both, Kathy.
So I'm so glad you're seeing Lynn. And you know what? I really believe that every human on the planet should see Lynn and is going to be helped. But Lisa, I wonder if you could think about maybe working with Laura or me privately, because what either of us could do for you is tease. See, what we do, unfortunately, is if we don't like something, we throw the whole damn thing out.
Yeah.
Let me throw the baby out with the bathwater. I need something creative. Let me be an actress. And I'm not saying you're doing that, but that's what we want to do. What I would like to tease apart is look at every single job, and you've got to fill out that career path assessment and finish it. And
I haven't finished. It's done. I just haven't sent it in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So what I'm wanting you to do is break it down not just what job you had, but specific tasks. What, like for me, for instance, I love to write. So writing needs to be a part of my life. However, if I'm writing 5 posts a week, I'm exhausted. I'm drained. I don't like it. So, you know, part of it is how we structure our time. Part of it is who's demanding what. Part of it is dealing with burdens of people. You know, I used to manage a big staff. I don't like it. I like having 10 partners. That's what I have now. I have 10 consultants and vendors and suppliers. I don't want more than that. So can you look at not just the area of focus of your work, but all of the elements that you think you need? I mean, I'm thinking you should be a consultant. You should, you know, have you ever been a consultant?
No, but I love the idea. It's not something I've considered.
Yeah.
I would like more help with that, Kathy.
I think you might really flourish using your analytical brain and doing consulting work, but also breaking it up, doing some other kinds of creative projects, doing some things on the side. So to answer your big question, I think it's not joy. How do I put this? I think what's in the way is you understanding yourself and how best to be of service in the world and make money. And when you figure that out, you're going to have a lot more balance, interesting work, and joy all in one fell swoop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yes.
All right. So let us know how it goes with Lynn. Are you seeing her, talking to her soon?
It's Monday.
Yay.
I will let you know. Yeah, I look forward to it very much.
Please, let us know what comes out of that.
I will.
And let us know either Laura, Neff, or I. And again, you can find all that on our support page, amazingcareerproject.com/support. If you want a few sessions one-on-one that might help you tease this out, okay?
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Great questions. All right. Who else would like to share? Who's got a question about more, what I want more of, and what's in the way? And as you can see from our discussion, sometimes we definitely have to continually peel the onion. It's not obvious. Like, let's think of an example in my life. Well, here's an example. I, as you know, love to sing, and I've done a lot of singing. And I have to say, around the holidays, singing gives me the ultimate joy because I adore Christmas music. I used to do a lot of holiday things in the city, big concerts. It's just full of happy memories. Just the other day, I was invited with our community to go sing to a flash mob caroling at a boy's house who's dying of cancer. You know, so to be able to use my voice to raise song in a group of people, it totally fills my heart. So knowing that and then making time for that and how not to overdo it. Last year I got sick. I lost my voice, actually, from so much singing. You know, it's a fine dance where we identify what brings us joy, we create the space in our life for it, but then we don't overdo it. But once you get it right, you know, every day is a chance to feel blessed, and that's what I'm hoping for you. So So who wants to raise a hand? Star 2. Oh, let me look at the Q&A. You're being very quiet today. Oh, we got some. Yay. I so love it when you ask your questions because I'm able to use my talents to be able to bring this material forward in a way that's real for you and practical, and that's what I'm loving. All right, Julia from, Julia, I love that name. That's my daughter's name. Hello, Julia from Melbourne. Hello, Kathy, she says. Just to let you know that I'm listening eagerly and so grateful to be part of this group, learning so much. But not quite able to clearly articulate my questions now, but thank you for what you're doing. Well, that's beautiful. I really appreciate that, and I really understand that. Sometimes information comes at us, and we know there's something there for us, but we have to process it first. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Julia. And Maureen shares from Rhode Island. Hi, Maureen. Maureen says, my question about fierce prioritization. I always feel as if there's not enough time. Everything on my to-do list competes to become a priority. I manage multiple projects and would prefer to have more focus, less frazzled. Can you speak more about fierce prioritization? I'd love to, Maureen. And I wish you and I could speak on the phone. If we can't do that, maybe you can add a little more about this. So here's what I know to be true. We're all, or most of us, incredibly busy. Like if you looked at what was on my plate, your head would explode. So there is a reality that we are all doing more than what anyone did 50 years ago, right? Every day, because of technology, because of how we're so on 24/7 and hyper-connected, and now there's Facebook and social media. So I'm validating here that almost everybody has more to do than can get done in a day. I get that. So what has to happen now is you have to understand your authentic values, what is going to make your life worth living. So at the end of it, when you're 90 looking back, did you want to have been a CEO where work was the primary focus? And that's a fine value. You have to understand what you value. Or is it children and being with them? You know, I've told you all, my kids are 18 and 21. I am at the point where I'm looking at what I did. I'm at the point that I used to think about, that when I launched them, I don't want to have regrets. I do not want to have regrets about how I was not with them. I didn't see their concerts. I didn't see their banquets. I didn't go to their soccer games. I didn't want that. And I knew that that meant I wasn't going to be a CEO because I didn't want to phone in my parenting. And that sounds judgmental. I didn't mean it to sound judgmental. Everybody has those. So what I need to know from you, Maureen, and what you need to know is, what are the 5 things that I've got to do in the way I want to do them where I won't have life regrets? All right. Now, I guarantee you, when you write those down, you're going to see a lot of other things that you do that are not that important. And you're going to have to force rank them. So, you know, let's say there's a little volunteer work. Let's say, you know, I used to sit on a board of my singing group, to be honest. And that meant a lot to me because it's a small group that needs a lot of people to help. But I sat on the board. I did my job 2 years. I don't want to be on the board anymore. I got off the board. What can you say no to that, and everything you're doing has some meaning or you wouldn't be doing it. It's giving you something. But what I want you to look at is what are the most important goals? And again, you know, I interviewed this guy on Forbes about leadership and discipline. And it requires discipline to focus on the vital few rather than the trivial many. I just love that. Love it. So write back to me. Tell me what are the vital few for you? Or if you want, are you on the phone here? Raise your hand, star 2 if you are. All right, if not, what are the vital few for you, Maureen? What are the things that you're going to feel like you blew it if you don't focus on? Right? Another thing, you know, another example for me, and I'm throwing out examples to try to dimensionalize it. But let me share this with you because this was really helpful for me. when I was starting out 10 years ago in my own business, I was a life coach, and I was all over the board because I had become a therapist. I could really help people with a lot of things: divorce, their teenage kids, depression, anxiety, work. I had a million things I could help with. But, you know, I felt like I like to specialize because specializing helps me be an expert and really help at a deep level, and I like that. So as time went on, I said, wait a minute, what is my niche? And after writing a book, Breakdown Breakthrough, about women, I was working with my branding guy, and I didn't want to say I was a woman's coach. And he said, why ever not? Didn't you just tell me that you love working with women? Yeah. That you know how to help women in some ways better than you do men because you really live the challenges of being a woman today? Yeah. Didn't you just tell me that you wrote a book and spent a year researching women's issues? Yeah. Then why ever would you not want to say you're a woman's coach? That's prioritization. I put my stake in the ground. I'm prioritizing helping mid-career women, 30 to 55. That's my priority. And I have to tell you, I've had to turn away a lot. I've had to say no to really important gigs and, you know, money-making things, because if I did that, I couldn't fiercely prioritize the thing I love the most. So I promise you, once you start getting clear on that, you're going to start, number one, knowing what you need to say no to. And you have to say no, right? Let's say you have the money to hire someone to clean the house and do the laundry and maybe cook three meals a day, but part of you thinks, well, that's not good parenting. You've got to look at that. Maybe if I hired someone to do that, I would actually be able to be with my children in a different way or prioritize this in a different way. So it also requires looking at assumptions that keep us stuck in struggle. Gosh, I hope that was helpful. Please send me more about that. I'd really love to help. All right. What else do I have here? A few more. I see something's coming in, but I don't see the name. But it says, along with Julia, I am still processing what I want more of. Yep. At present, I would just love to be employed. But in the meantime, I'm beginning to understand myself, which is helping me define what I want from a job and how I want it to impact my days. So I wish I had your name here. You're 100% right. Of course you want to be employed. You want to be gainfully employed, and you want to use yourself in service. But until that happens, and truly before that happens, you do have to understand yourself better. You have to know what you're gifted at. And trust me, you are. You have amazing talents. You have amazing gifts. You've had experience. You know, you've had experience that allows you a perspective that no one else on the planet has. So to be employed in the way you want, you have to understand yourself, and you have to understand what you're amazing at. And, you know, this is what the Amazing Career Project is all about, but I do believe that doing this work this week and every week, like this week, is about prioritization and understanding what you want more of and why you deserve it, and making yourself comfortable that you deserve more. And I tell you, that takes work. So I promise you, when you do this work, then you identify the kind of work you want, you're going to be able to get it in a way that you weren't, you know, 14 weeks ago. So do the deep work here. Do it. What do you want more of? And what do you feel you deserve? And I really mean this. If you have any little hiccup that comes up, that, like, I have a colleague who says, you know, she's just starting out in her coaching practice, and she says, you know, I envision making $5 million. And I will be completely honest with you. I said, okay, I'll envision that. That isn't a juicy goal for me. $1 million is a juicy goal because I can see how to get there. I can clearly see that I'm on my way to that. So if my friend's goal is $5 million, that doesn't mean my goal needs to be $5 million. We're all different. And $5 million means I'm running a very huge business, which I don't want right now in my life. So see how just this one little goal that someone throws out helps you think about, well, what do I really want and why? Why do I think $5 million isn't the goal for me? Because $1 million, I can see how to do it. I can see exactly where my programs are going to lead to that. I have a scaling plan. I have help in place so that, you know, if I were to scale that much overnight, I wouldn't have enough support right now, you know, to 5 million. 1 million, yes. I'm on the path to that. So make yourself right in how you think about these goals. Don't make yourself wrong, but get really aware of why you want what you want and why you deserve what you want. And if you feel you don't deserve it, then I think that's a session with Lynn, because that's an energy issue. There were probably some messages that you got, or you certainly start with reading Gay Hendricks' book, The Big Leap, because you'll start to see, you know, and truly I have all of these barriers that I have felt badly about outshining people. I have felt disloyal. I have felt, I'm looking at it here on my slides, I have felt that believing in more, that more success is going to bring more of a burden to me, right? And feeling a little bit fundamentally flawed. Why do I deserve this when so many people are struggling and suffering? Well, I've done work on every one of those, and each time it's opened a new door. I hope that's been helpful, my friends. Thank you so much for doing this work with me and being on this journey. So write on Facebook, share it with me, and I really mean this. You'll be amazed at the support you get, right? So those of you who haven't gotten on Facebook, please get on there and share, what one area do you want more of? Do you want expansion in? And what are you committing to do to see if you can get there? All right? Awesome. And I will see you next Thursday for week 8. Have a wonderful week. Have an amazing time. And talk to you soon. Bye-bye. The moderator has